You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here
God
is
bless you.
Sherry
Thank you,
Medlock.
Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the book of Genesis, chapter 5, verse 1, where we left off last time. Genesis, chapter 5, verse 1. Before we do, let's remember with love Anita Wozniak. Anita just moved on to heaven this week. Anita had three children, Joanne, James, and John. Yep, James and John. Now, some years ago, James, also known as Jim Stevens, moved to heaven, so I am sure that Anita has already had a great welcome from her beloved son. Jim Stevens, when he was on the earth, was the husband of our dear friend and faithful sister, Laura Stevens, and he's the father of Laura's beautiful daughter, Melissa. So we ask, Father, that you will just bless Anita and help her to be happy with you. We know she loved you. And we thank you, Father, for receiving her and giving her life eternal through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We remember with love Anita Wozniak. And now, Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. Last time, we studied the genealogy of Cain, and he was the child of the wicked one, and he was evil. And the genealogy was spreading, and evil was spreading on the earth. And we found out that there are two families on this planet, and they are fighting all the time. Genesis 3:15, God says, I will put enmity between the woman's seed and your seed. The your is the serpent. He's not a snake. He's just low down like a snake. It's the devil. So there's this war, and it went on then, and it's going on right now. All that you hear on the news, all this stuff in Washington, D.C., this are the two families are fighting. And we remember that Jesus mentioned this in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus was giving us the parable of the wheat and the tares. And he said, they're the good children, the good seed are the children of the Father, the kingdom of God. And the bad seed are the children of the wicked one, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. And so Jesus was referring to the Garden of Eden, when God told the woman Eve and the man Adam, do not touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't noggle with that tree. That tree was a metaphor, low down like a snake's belly. It was beautiful Lucifer, that young angel, and he wholly seduced Eve, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Satan beguiled Eve, wholly seduced, and bore Cain. He was the fruit, and he was the evil seed. So last week we had Cain's genealogy, and we found that he just kept procreating, and they would get worse and worse. There was one named Lamech. He was just bragging on how many people he had killed. So today we're going to look at the man Adam's genealogy. Now, from the man Adam's genealogy is to come, umbilical cord to umbilical cord, the messianic seed line. Messiah Jesus would finally come through Mary there and pay the sin debt. But last week, Cain killed Abel, and there wasn't even a good seed left. Now, as we study chapter 5, you might say, genealogy is not interesting. Yes, it is. If God put it in there, there's something for you to learn. And I pray to God that I'll make it fun for you tonight. Yes, it is. I want you, first of all, to realize you are not going to find King K-C-A-I-N, his name in Adam's genealogy. That's because he was not Adam's son. He was of the wicked one. It was Satan who beguiled Eve in the garden, and Cain was the result. So let's begin with Adam's genealogy, through whom would come the Messiah, and did come the Messiah. You know the Messiah is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Verse 2, male and female created he them. All right. Now this particular man, Adam, this is a specific man. Eth ha-Adam, a specific man, Adam. After he had created male and female on the sixth day, Genesis 1:26, that word man or Adam means humankind in general. Well, what would that be? All the races, red, yellow, brown, black, and white, and God said it's very good. But then he needed someone to till the soil. He needed a special pedigree, the messianic seed line, through whom God would send his only son. So he created the man Adam and his wife Eve. Male and female made he them. Now, just two genders, notice that. Okay, so our politicians who are socialists won't get mixed up. Bless them and call their name Adam in the day when they were created. 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image. Now, don't you know that means something? Because there he is, he's married to Eve, and the first son to come out when the twins came out, Cain and Abel, was the devil's child. He didn't look like the man Adam at all. And then Cain killed Abel, so Adam didn't even have an heir. And now, here comes one, and he looks like the man Adam. And called his name Seth. Seth means compensation, to compensate so the seed line would be available for the Messiah to come in. So now we've got a little bit of light in the darkness here. While Cain's population is just covering the earth with the evil, finally the man Adam and Eve have a son, and his name is Seth. A little slow, but it's growing. 4, in the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Now he had some other children. 5, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Now Adam lived 930 years. If you'll remember that when God told the man Adam and Eve, do not touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that the day you touch it, you participate, you noggle with it, you lie with it in a sexual act, he said you should surely die. He didn't mean that specific moment, but he meant one of God's days. 2 Peter 3 says, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. So God said, I'm not going to let you live more than 1,000 years. Well, he was doing pretty good. 930, that could get kind of boring, couldn't it? 6, and Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos. Now, you know, usually we have our babies in our mid-20s, 30s. He's 105, very young, having his first child. Now, the seed line's growing, though. So see, Seth is pure seed line. Now we got Enos. Enos is pure, but Enos' name means frail. He's not very strong and healthy. Wonder if he's going to make it. And Seth lived after he begot Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years. And he died. He didn't live quite as long as his dad, but he lived long enough. Now you're going to find that bit by bit, the lifespan will be shortened. You know, God is so good about that. In Mark 13, God says he's shortening the time of the soon coming Antichrist for the elect's sake, lest Jesus find no faith on the earth. And if you want to be a detective, go to Revelation 9, and you'll find that Apollyon and Abaddon, Hebrew and Greek, are the Antichrist or the devil, and that his time's been shortened to 5 months. The reason God's going to shorten this time is, first of all, it would take forever if all the billions of souls we were all with God, as we've already talked in the earlier parts of Genesis, in a spiritual body. If everybody comes through in a flesh body and lives 1,000 years, we'll never get this thing finished to get back to Father's house. Also, when there's so many people, there's waste, and that causes pollution. And then we have these two families, Cain's family, the bad seed and the good seed, fighting all the time. That causes stress, and stress causes people to be sick. So he's going to gradually lower the time span. Thank goodness. 9. And Enos lived 90 years and begot Canaan. He waited until he was 90 years old to have his son. This is Canaan. It sounds very much like Cain. You're going to find that the devil's kids, Cain and Cain's descendants, the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, copy the names of God's children. Canaan means possession, but it doesn't mean in a bad way. Cain's name means possessor. Cain is evil. He wants to possess you, to control you, power to take over and squash you like a bug. Canaan means that God will give you houses and lands for your possession. 10. And Enos lived after he begot Canaan 815 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Maybe not too frail. He's having children. 11. And all the days of Enos were 900, and he died. Now, this is such a good testimony. This is God's chosen seed line. Each one of these names like that in the Messianic seed line, that was the seed line, the pedigree through whom Jesus would come, and God was keeping it pure. All those other sons and daughters they had, they were precious and God loved them. But God did that so that all the souls would get to come in. Everybody gets this chance to be born again, born from above, to choose Jesus or the devil. But he let Enos live that long, so I think that is so beautiful to know. He says, even in old age, he will carry you. Even in old age, you'll be strong and flourishing. One handicapped child of God can do more work than 10 robustly healthy children of the wicked one.
Amen.
12. And Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. Mahalalel. Now you say, well, what's so exciting about that? His name means praise to Yahweh. Yahweh is how you say the sacred name of God. There are no J's in the Hebrew. It's not Jehovah. It's not Yahweh. It's Yahweh. So what we see now is each father, each parent, teaches the messianic seed line that the purpose on earth of this chosen seed is to praise the Lord. Your purpose is to praise the Lord. It's not that job. It's not that fun. It's not that family. You may be in those situations to praise the Lord, and you praise him by praising his name. His name is called the Word of God, and sowing the word to the world. Amen. That is praise. Amen. So we can see that they were being taught that the Messiah is coming through us. So praise the Lord with a chosen seed, chosen from before the foundation of the earth. Ephesians 1:4, foundation, catapult, Satan's rebellion in the first earth age, chosen. 13. And Canaan lived after he begot Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. 14. All the days of Canaan were 910 years. He's still in the 900, so he's coming along here. And he died. 15. And Mahalalel lived 65 years. 65? Boy, that's like about being 4 years old now. And begat Jared. Ah, Jared. This is the name of the son-in-law of our beloved President Donald Trump. You know, Jared is Hebrew. The name came from here. This is the seed line.
Mahariel lived after he begot Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters, 17, and all the days of Mahariel were 895 years, and he died.
Now his name means praise to Yahweh, so he lived a good time, but all that praise didn't quite get him to the nine, okay? God's shortening it, thank goodness. You know, I had a Sunday school teacher when I was a young girl. She was a pastor's wife. She was so sweet. And she was teaching, and she suddenly said, "Isn't it wonderful that we all eventually die?" I caught it immediately. Did you really want to live in this nitty-gritty, achy world of sin and all of the nonsense? Did you want to live here? Don't you know you have something better?
Amen. 18. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch.
Oh, Enoch. Oh, boy. You know what? Enoch, he's a very special man. His name means dedicated and disciplined. Disciplined and dedicated. Dedicated and disciplined. Only a special person has this characteristic. Chosen from before the foundation. They're chosen by God from the first earth age.
And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years. And he begat sons and daughters 20. And all the days of Jared were 962 years. And he died.
It went back up a little bit. I think it was because he had such a great son named Enoch.
21, and Enoch lived 65 years.
65, that's young.
And begat Methuselah.
Methuselah.
22, and Enoch walked with God.
And Enoch walked with God. Don't overlook that. Did you know your name should be there? You don't get up in the morning and politely say hello to God, quickly read your Bible, out the door, and put Jesus in a drawer. You walk with him through this 24-hour maze of sewage in this world. You walk with him in the good times, the bad times. You never, ever leave him. He's always at your side. If you're called, if you're chosen, if you're elected. Many are called, but few are chosen. Few walk with him.
After he begat Methuselah, 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters, 23, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years.
Now the rest of them, they say, and he died. Now, that's not very many years, is it? He didn't die. Well, let's find out what happened to him. Why didn't he die?
24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him.
This is answered so beautifully in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated. He was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. So he was translated. Remember when Jesus took Peter, James, and John, Matthew 17, up to the Mount of Transfiguration? And they watched Jesus just turn around from the flesh body and become that beautiful creature of light that Jesus is, being of light, I should say. And it was kind of like Wonder Woman. She comes out, she's got her hair pulled back in a bun, She's got on glasses. She's dressed prim and proper. But she does a turn. The hair falls down. The glasses fall off. And wow, is it. I mean, just turn it around right there. You know what Peter, James, and John saw? Not only Jesus was translated, they saw it before his eyes. Remember, Jesus' body never saw corruption. They also saw the prophet Elijah in his translated body. The book of Kings tells us the prophet Elijah never died. He was taken up in a whirlwind, which means a chariot of fire. And we do know that his spirit came back in John the Baptist. We notice that Peter, James, and John also saw Moses in his transfigured body. Now, over in the book of Jude, that little book just before Revelation, Satan is warring with the Michael, Archangel Michael, trying to find Moses' body, because it says God buried Moses, but the grave could not be found. I suggest to you that when God says, I'll take care of your burial, I kind of think you're going to be translated, don't you think so? So what was so special about Enoch? What did he do to please God? He taught the people and preached to them. Jude chapter 1, verse 14. He was a preacher. He was a prophet, an anointed speaker. He taught them of seduction in the garden, how Satan beguiled Eve, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And Cain was the product, and how Cain, the wicked one's seed, was covering the earth. But that wasn't all he taught them. He taught them of Genesis 6. Which I will teach you next week, of the fallen angels. That's where it says sons of God, Nephilim in the Hebrew, the fallen angels who refused to be born of women, born again, born from above, but came and left their habitation at the direction of Satan and cohabitated with the beautiful daughters of Adam and bore a hybrid called the giants. He preached against all of this. And Enoch in Jude 1 verse 14 prophesied of Jesus, of Jesus' second advent, coming in the clouds with all of his saints to execute judgment on the ungodly for all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed. I think that's about as close as he could get to cussing. Just had enough of that. So Enoch was very special. And so he and God were walking together. You know that beautiful intimate time you have with God when his left hand's under your head, his right hand doth embrace you, and it wraps you in his arms, and you don't ever want to leave that place. And one day God said, Enoch, you don't have to go back. Come home with me. And he was translated. Now we know that we're going to have two witnesses appear on the scene pretty soon. People like to speculate who they are. I don't speculate because the Bible doesn't tell us. But I do believe that Enoch will have some place in the end. We need an Enoch now. We need a voice that's disciplined and dedicated to stand on top of America and tell this country what's going on about sin, about turning back to Jesus, about hearing the word of God, and how to stop this enmity between the two seeds in our country. That Jesus is our Lord, the Bible is our book, the Holy Spirit's our guide. Come on, Enoch. Amen. Or Enoch S.
25. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech.
Okay, Methuselah has a son named Lamech. Lamech means power. Now, if you remember last week, Cain had a descendant called Lamech, and he was bragging about his power, how he killed people. But see, that's the bad seed. The bad seed misuse the power. They hurt people. They destroy lives, as we see in the media, how they just arrest people and put them through hell and destroy their lives. But this Lamech, it's different. He knows that Jesus gives you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Controlled strength.
26. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years. He begat sons and daughters, 27. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. and he died.
Methuselah is the oldest man who ever lived. Next time somebody's fussing at you about your age, just tell them you're the oldest Methuselah. That'll hush them. Okay. The oldest man who ever lived. He almost made the 1,000 year. I think that God gave him Enoch's time on earth. He took his dad, so he gave him his time. Don't you think?
And Lamech lived in 182 years and begat a son, 29, and he called his name Noah.
Enter Noah. Noah's name means rest. The world was fighting. Cain's descendants were growing faster than the seed line of the Messiah was growing. And Cain, it always looks like the enemy. They're protesters and they're rude and they don't love anybody. And there was a lot of disturbance on the earth. Evil was upon the earth. Enter Noah, rest.
Saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. 30. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years, and he begat sons and daughters. 31. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died.
3 sevens there. That's pretty good for Noah's father. But you see how the lifeline is shortening? We're going to find out next week that God shortened it to 120 years. You can't live over 120, okay? Not in your flesh body. But you may live forever in your spiritual body.
32. And Noah was 500 years old. And Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
3 sons. And so the seed line continues. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Evil is growing, but God's children are growing too. God always has plan B. So we know that the Messiah in our story is on the way. And we know the Messiah is the way. That Messiah did come, and his name is Jesus. We'll begin right there next week. Right now, it's time for Mystery Moment and Scott Stuff. I want to introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry.
Great.
Hey, we've got a bunch of questions today.
Okay.
Our first question, where were the dinosaurs in the first Earth Age?
The question is, were they in the flesh there? They were in the flesh body. They were here, but they were in a flesh body. All the people were in a spiritual body. The dinosaurs were in a flesh body. There's been proof of that. You know, when God shook it, they found dinosaurs in the frozen tundras of Alaska with buttercups in their mouth.
Yeah.
So they were on the earth in a flesh body.
Okay. And our next question, how could God create anything void?
God cannot create anything void. That first verse in Genesis 1:1, He God created the heaven and earth. He created it perfect. The proof there is Isaiah 45, verse 18. Get it down, Christian. Isaiah 45, verse 18. It says, God did not create it void. You can't create something void. Even if you're a bad artist, it would be something. But see, something happened. The word was there in the next verse means it became, tuhu vabuhu, it became without form and void. God got so upset when Satan rebelled and stole some of God's children. We were all in the spiritual body there, that God got so hurt he smashed it. Then it became void.
In our next question, what does touch mean?
Touch, of course, we talk about that in the lesson today. God told them and Adam and Eve, do not touch the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You've got to understand that wasn't a tree and that wasn't a snake. It's a metaphor. It was beautiful, beautiful. Lucifer's the most beautiful of them all. Young man, angel, angel's a young man. And it says, don't naga, don't lie as one lies with a woman. Don't have a sexual intimacy there. That's what that means.
Okay, and our last question. So where is the apple?
There is no apple. That's a fairy tale. I know they drew it on the chalkboard or the blackboard or the whiteboard when you were growing up. No apple there. The forbidden fruit was to naga. Do not naga, the man Adam. Do not naga Eve. And both of them naga with the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the forbidden fruit was that they touched them, and then they had the bad seed, which is Cain. We're going to count Mystery Moment, which we just had, as Scott's stuff today. Scott, is that all right with you?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
For time's sake, because we want to share these first six chapters of Genesis, so include the mystery of God. I want you to get it so securely in you that you'll be able to understand it and share it with other people. So God bless you, Scott. Thanks for that.
Now,
I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick, but first of all, let me pray for anyone who is not saved. Please pray this prayer with me and mean it, and God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus. Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit. Guide me into all truth. Use me to bring God great glory on this earth. And to bring many souls into the kingdom of God. Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, to arise with healing in your wings. I ask you to go down into the bone and the marrow, and I ask you to just gently flush out the poisons and flush out those pain-killing things there. I ask you to go into the stomach, the lining of the stomach, and heal. And as the lining of the stomach is healed, let the lining of the sinuses and the nose be healed, for these work together. Allergies be gone, the lining and the sinuses be healed, and the stomach lining be healed in Jesus' mighty name. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, that thing which is out of order, get in order, move. In the name of Jesus, glory, hallelujah. Pain stop. Praise the Lord. Crooked bones be made strong. Jesus' name. He sent his word and healed you and delivered you from your destruction. God bless you now. In a few minutes, Scott is going to give you my telephone number. And if you were saved and if you were healed, I want you to feel free to call me and leave the message on my voicemail. Tell me you were saved, tell me you were healed, and I will certainly pray for you, and I love you. Now remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is true. I want to give a special thank you for our announcer, and our twin friend Scott Burson here for the mystery moment, for Scott's stuff, and for being our announcer, and just simply for loving God. We thank you, Scott. We appreciate you. We appreciate your beautiful family here and all that you do for the body of Christ, because you have a pure heart and love God. Until next time, I want all of you to go and tell anything you get. It's not given to you to keep. Give it away. God will give you some more. I live by this. It never fails. And beside, you don't want to keep this secret to yourself. You want to go share it. Help somebody else to find the reason they're in this world. Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock, your host, saying God bless you. God keep you. God make his face to shine upon you. God give you peace. God preserve you going in, you're coming out from this time forth and even forevermore. And I love you and I bless you. And I'm really looking forward to next time when we hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
House of God, all creation cries. Hear the Holy Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called day.
and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. Was heavy, the chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that call my name and I
mountain you won't climb up, coming after you.
Oh no.
There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
That's right.
There's no shadow.
Mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
A land becomes cursed when men cannot be located.
Dr. Tony Evans says the future of our society depends on understanding the difference between those terms.
The desperate need of today is to call males back to being men, as God defines a man, not as the culture defines him.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. The very idea of masculinity these days is thought of as, at best, outdated, and at worst, downright evil. But today, Dr. Evans begins a new series of messages that redefine the term from a biblical perspective and explain why it's a vital ingredient in God's recipe for humanity. Let's join him.
One of the dominant questions of today can be recited simply by asking, Adam, where you at? The missing man has become the crisis of the day. Not the missing male, the missing man. It is the question of the single woman who can't find a worthwhile man to marry. Question of the single parent who's been abandoned by the father of her children.